Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. How should a Christian respond to the gospel? How should we respond when we hear the word of God spoken? Many years ago, it must have been about five, six years ago, we had just started going down to Trenton to offer some service for some of those who were under-resourced. Many of you will remember because some of you had gone as well. And when we first started going, there was a gentleman there who we began to see every time we would go. And he would ride around his little scooter, and we would always get so excited when we would see him pull up. And we'd always look for him in particular. He was a joyful person, always excited to hear the word. And he would always like tell other people to come. And I remember one time, you know, I'm sharing something afterwards, and he's sitting there and he's staring. He says, "I said, do you hear me?" He goes, "Oh, I hear you." And he insisted to call me Pastor. He said, "I hear you, Pastor. I'm listening to you, Pastor." And I said, "All right." I said, "You know, do you believe?" He goes, I hear everything you're saying, Pastor. I hear it all, Pastor." And I said, "All right." I said, "So what are you going to do?" He goes, "I want you to pray for me, Pastor. Just pray for me, Pastor. But I hear you. And then, you know, I'd see him the next time, and it was the same thing. And then the next time, and it was the same thing. And so I asked him, I said, "How are you doing?" He goes, "Well, I'm hearing you, Pastor. I'm hearing you." So I said, are you doing anything about it?" And he goes, "I'm hearing you. I told you I'm hearing you. That's enough for now. That's enough for now." And the response of the Christian can't stop at "hearing you, Pastor," or "hearing you, Lord." It can't stop at "I heard" or "I saw," and that's where it ends. This morning, our Lord, He's speaking to a group of His disciples, and He says to them, very importantly, "Blessed are the eyes, blessed are those of you who have heard and who have seen," right? He says, "Many prophets and righteous people have desired to hear the things that you hear and have not heard them, and to see the things that you see and have not seen them." And then He says to them, He says, "But blessed are your eyes, blessed are the eyes which see the things that you have seen. For I tell you, many prophets and righteous people have desired to see those things. Blessed are your eyes and your ears because they've seen and they've heard." What a treasure, what a gift it is for us to hear and to see the things of the Lord. In 1 John chapter 1, St. John tells the church, he says that "I've come and I'm declaring to you the things that we have seen and that we have heard, and that we have been manifested to us, that we've beheld, I declare them to you." And in St. Paul's letter to the Romans, he says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who have preached the gospel." Why? Because through the preaching of the gospel, we can hear the word of God. Whether it's in spoken form or in written form through the text of the scripture or in icons, when we see the word, this is a blessing for us. This is a great thing for us. But it can't stop at "I hear you, I see you." It never stops at "I hear the word" or "I see the gospel. I have seen the word of God," and that's where it stops. If it is, then that's not a complete response to the gospel. In Acts chapter 11, verse 21, we read that a great many people were added to the Lord. And it says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed. They believed. See, it's one thing to hear and to see. It's another thing to believe the word that has been spoken to us. And to believe is not simply an intellectual, like, I believe this. Yes, it begins with that. But it means to put one's complete trust in what it is that they are hearing, what it is that they are seeing. So that it's not just they're hearing and seeing things, but they now completely trust and commit themselves to what it is that they are hearing and they are seeing in the gospel. It means that they are willing to submit and surrender their own mind and their own heart to the message of the gospel. That they're not seeking their own human wisdom over the godly wisdom, but they are seeking to submit and to surrender to the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ as declared and revealed in the gospel. Which then leads to the third and final part of the response. It says, a great number believed and they turned to the Lord. They turned to the Lord. In other words, they believed what they heard and they turned and began to walk with him. They didn't just believe it as something that they said, yes, this is the most important thing for me in my life. That what the gospel says is true, and this is good. That for sure Jesus Christ is God incarnate. That he has come and has shed his blood for me. And he's given me life through his resurrection. And he sent us the gift of the Holy Spirit from the Father. All this belief is good. But if it is true, then what we find is that the disciples, they turned to the Lord and began to walk with him. They didn't simply leave it as an intellectual set of beliefs that they held to be the truest thing, the truest reality, which now they looked around, they said, now we understand. If I understand that death is there and life is here, then I'm turning from death to life, unless if something is psychologically wrong with me, right? Unless if something inside of me is so broken, but if I see and I believe, then I should turn. I should turn. We are told later in the chapter, in Acts chapter 11, the first time we hear the word Christian anywhere. And they were first called Christians in Antioch. Why? Because the way these people believed and lived their lives, the way they lived out their life, they said these people look like Christ. That's why they began calling them Christians. These people are living like Jesus Christ, like the Lord. It wasn't because they held a certain set of beliefs. It wasn't just because they held a certain set of beliefs. A Christian is not one who holds a certain set of doctrines to be true about the Holy Trinity, about the Incarnation, about the sacraments, about the creed. The Christian is the one who turns and lives the gospel. But as for you, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear. We say this every single liturgy, right? Every liturgy during the litany of the gospel. Thank you. Cat-like reflexes. Every liturgy in the litany of the gospel, we say this part from this gospel. And then right afterwards, the priest continues. And as he's saying these words, each one of us in our hearts should be saying these words. May we be worthy not only to hear, but to act according to your holy gospels. Not only to hear, not only to see, not only to believe, but for it to govern us in such a way that our lives become transformed and that we live the gospel. In Antioch, they were first called Christians. Their lives were so transformed by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ that people looked and said, these must be disciples of Christ. They look too similar to Jesus Christ to be anything but. Before that, in the book of Acts, they were referred to as people of the way. People of the way. And now they're called and given a title that, like, we should be so grateful to carry that honor, the name of Christ. But what truly makes one a Christian is believing what it is that they've heard and seen and living according to what it is they believe. If we don't complete the cycle, then the words that were spoken in Antioch won't be spoken about us. They were first called Christians in Antioch. Blessed are our eyes, for we've seen and we've heard what many prophets and righteous men have desired to see and the things that they've desired to hear. But as for you, as for us, blessed are our eyes. Blessed are our ears. We've heard the gospel. We've seen the gospel. Our Lord has been revealed to us beautifully, majestically, gloriously. May we be worthy to hear and to act according to the gospel, to live according to the gospel, to have it truly govern our lives. This morning, I want to invite you, as you are confronted with this message of the gospel, that it's not just something that we come to hear. Like, I will tell you, man, one of the things that, like, I know, like, some preachers like to hear, like, oh, I love the message today. I loved listening to you today. Like, for me, that does nothing. Truth be told. Like, what one of the most beautiful things that I'm like, Lord, thank you for using me, is when I not only, when I see people, like, taking the gospel and implementing it in their lives. When I see people's lives being transformed by the very life of Jesus Christ. For me, that is the most encouraging, inspirational thing, because words are plentiful these days. We hear many words these days. All of us. This morning, we're all confronted by the truth of Jesus Christ. We're confronted by the gospel this morning. We're confronted, hopefully, by the risen Christ himself. Just as St. Paul was confronted on the road to Tarsus. And the road to Damascus, rather. And the question is, how will we respond? Will we move beyond hearing? Will we move beyond hearing to believing? And will we move beyond believing to commitment to live the gospel? Each one of us, every one of us this morning, has some part of our life that we may be holding on to, where there are shadows or parts of our heart that we are saying, or parts of our lives that we're saying, I believe, Lord, but not this part of my life. Not this. You can touch any part of my life, but not that. And this morning, I ask you to stand before the Lord, who's telling us how blessed you are to see me, to know me. And just stand before him exposed and hearing his voice calling you. and asking him to fill that part and every part of your life with his Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to come upon you this morning, that as he does, you would be freed to live as Christ. That every one of us here would be free to shine with the light of Jesus Christ in such a way that our families, our own personal walks, our church community would be a place where people would look and they would say, these people surely are Christians. Not just on Sunday mornings, but all throughout our days. Hearing and seeing, believing, and acting or living out the gospel. That is our response to the gospel. God bless, and all glory be to his name forever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.